Welcome back to the Effective Ministry Podcast, the podcast that helps you have an effective youth and children's ministry in your local church. I'm Tim Bielhartz, Children's Ministry Advisor for YouthWorks in Sydney, and I'm joined today by my friend Megan Gates, who is the Children's Minister at St. Michael's Cathedral in Wollongong. Thanks for joining us, Megan.
Thanks, Tim. Thanks for having me.
No worries. We're talking today about discipleship, and especially around what discipleship and faith formation looks like in very young children.
Mm.
But before we dig into that, I thought it'd be great for everyone just to get to know you a bit. So how about you tell us a little bit of your story? How did you become a Christian, and how did that sort of end up with you doing vocational children's ministry?
Sure. Well, I grew up around church, going to church every Sunday. I was part of a Catholic family growing up, so sort of a cultural Christian, I guess. And when I hit working, I met a few Christians through my work and headed off to uni. And yeah, I was always struck by the way that those particular Christians were very firm in their faith, but that wasn't really for me. I was more interested in hearing about all the different options and how we could all be peaceful together. But one day, one of the people in particular, one of those friends, he actually said that he was interested in me but couldn't date me because I wasn't a Christian, which actually really offended me as a cultural Christian, as a Catholic who thought she was a Christian, because I thought, how did he know that? And why did he think he knew better than me in that regard? And ultimately, I think it was probably my stubbornness that God used to bring me to him through that. Yeah, it really sent me searching into what did he mean by that. Yeah, and I spent a lot of time poring through the Bible. His older sister recommended some passages for me to read. I got stuck on a lot of things, like about submission and I think being particularly an outspoken woman. I struggled with a lot of things about women as well and what they actually meant. But eventually I read Ephesians 2 about being saved by grace alone, by faith and not by works. And I think that was just really overwhelming. The Spirit obviously moved in me to actually understand that and come to that knowledge of grace, because I'd read the Bible throughout my life and I'd never actually understood it like that before.
Awesome.
Yeah, so it's pretty amazing. Yeah.
Very cool. Since then, you studied early childhood. We might come back to that in a second because I think that's relevant for our discussion. But you've ended up now in ministry, doing children's ministry vocationally. What was that trajectory like?
Well, I moved to Wollongong. So, yes, I studied early childhood teaching, had a bit of a break from it, and then ended up moving down here to Wollongong, being involved in children's ministry, especially once I became a Christian. And that was the obvious place for me to serve, loving kids. Met Andy Stevo down here at St. Mick's, and he had a really strong connection with YouthWorks, which was great. And so a couple of years in, I remember being quite frustrated at his love of youth ministry and seeing that as a him overseeing the need in kids ministry, and so throwing myself into serving there. And he could obviously see that I had a heart for that ministry, and so tapped me on the shoulder and asked if I wanted to do a traineeship. So, yeah, I spent some time studying at YouthWorks and working for church.
And no shout on Andy, because he's now at YouthWorks and he's now my boss. So lots of love for Andy Stevenson.
He's gold. He's very, very passionate about youth ministry.
Yeah. So now doing vocational children's ministry, full-time looking after kids at St. Mick's Wollongong. So let's think about this connection. This is a conversation we've had a number of times in the last 5 or 6 years, however long we've known each other, about your application of what you learn in early childhood into discipleship and faith formation and thinking about those kinds of things. How has the early education study that you've done, how has that helped shape you? What has that helped you to think through in terms of children's ministry?
Well, it definitely has made me consider developmentally appropriate ways of teaching. And so being super aware of what's appropriate. I often don't realise that I'll observe other leaders doing things and I think, why are they doing that? But my housemate is very good at reminding me that that's because I've actually had training in that, and that's what's led me to see that some things are better than others when it comes to teaching kids. Yeah, taking different approaches, different language, things like that. And I think from that, also having an evidence base to thinking about where a kid's at and how can I extend on that learning. Yeah. Definitely informs how I think about how kids learn and grow and mature.
So a number of these threads have come together in what you've developed here with the Flourishing Disciples framework and graphic that we'll talk about in a sec. And this is pulling together a number of different conversations we've had over the last 5 or 6 years, particularly when you completed the effective ministry tool, which shameless self-promotion, comprehensive assessment of a church's children's and youth ministry, according to YouthWorks 7 principles of effective ministry. And you can look up YouthWorks EMT or YouthWorks effective ministry tool, just Google that and you'll find the sign up link. But Megan, when you did the tool, one of the areas we highlighted that needed some attention was principle 2, which is all about equipping parents and households to disciple their children in partnership with the church. So two important parts there. One is that the household is one of the primary places where children are being discipled. But we want that to be in conversation with and in partnership with the church. If the same child is both in the household and in the church, obviously we want discipleship in both places. So what did you notice about was and wasn't happening in regards to that partnership?
Yeah, well, I could see that the kids' ministry leaders had good relationships with the parents. They would often have a chat with them after services, and parents were keen to chat to the leaders as well, but often the conversations were revolving around behavior and how their kid was going, referred often to behavior instead of how they were going with the Lord. And I think that's one of the really valuable things that comes out of early years education, is that it's got a similar mindset of there's a lot of learning happening in the home that can be supported in a center and vice versa. And so it was tricky because whilst the relationships were there, the conversations around how the kids were actually going weren't. Although some of the parents would talk to me as the employed children's minister about what was happening in the home, and that was really encouraging for me, but not necessarily always being passed on to the leaders themselves unless I was passing that on. So I sort of wanted to cut out the middleman in that sense of having the parents chat directly to the leaders and the leaders directly to the parents of the kids that they're actually ministering to.
And so one of the things to identify there is wanting to have some shared language.
Yeah.
So that when a parent tells the leader, hey, this happened this week, or this is how my child's been feeling, or this is what they're expressing, and likewise the leader can say, hey, I noticed these things going on with your child. There was this relationship between the two that realized, oh, when you say this, you're meaning, you know, my child is growing in their knowledge, love, obedience.
Yes,
ticking
exactly.
Jesus.
Yes.
So we, as you worked on this and you started to formulate your thinking, you've ended up with the flourishing disciples. So there's a graphic that you've developed. We're going to put a link in the show notes so people can download this for themselves and have a look at it. But there are basically, you've come up with this, or simplified what we would observe and nurture in children across 6 categories. So we have children will place their trust in God in all things. They will root, that's number one. Number two, root their identity in being a child of God. Number three, love God and learning about him. Number four, love the local church. 5, express the fruits of the Spirit. And 6, they're mission-minded. Just tell us about the thinking as drawing together. I mean, there's lots of things you could have said, but you've chosen these 6. Any particular thinking going on there for you?
Those 6 things are examples of mature disciples. And so each of them just shows a different facet of what maturity in the Lord can look like. Ultimately, they've come out of multiple readings as well, reading stuff on resilience and how faith impacts resilience and what a resilient, mature faith looks like in a child.
Every young person deserves to hear the greatest story ever told, the good news of Jesus. Through the ministry of SRE in schools, young people have the chance to be part of God's wonderful story. YouthWorks is a key provider of training, accreditation, and resourcing of volunteer SRE teachers in New South Wales government schools. You can support SRE today with a tax-deductible donation to enable children to hear the greatest story ever told. Just Google YouthWorks, SRE, donate. Let's investigate a couple of these just to see what it looks like. And I think one of the key things that you've done here, and this again goes back to your early childhood research, is that you've duplicated these 6 categories but noticed 2 different things. So the first diagram, the first graphic is what do we observe now in kids? What would we notice? And there's age-appropriate things that we would observe. If I'm a parent or I'm a leader, whichever side of that space I'm in, I will notice these things about these 6 categories. And then your second graphic is about, well, how do I now nurture each of those six. If this is what it means to look to be a healthy, flourishing disciple of Jesus, let's have a look at these things. So let's pull apart a couple of these. Let's start with identity. If I'm a parent or I'm a children's ministry leader, whichever side I'm on, what am I going to notice about a child who has an identity as a flourishing disciple?
Well, there's quite a few things that you could notice, but a few that I've written on the graphic are things like referring to God as a father, that obviously recognizes that they're a child of God in that respect. Also recognizing themselves as a Christian, as part of a broader community. Yeah, and that having that commitment to that identity. As children grow older, we know that even kids who grew up in Christian homes make a commitment themselves to follow Christ. So recognizing that that doesn't, just because they grow up in a Christian home, doesn't mean they're automatically a Christian. They do actually need to commit to the Lord and understand his grace as well. And that Christ is what gives them that identity and that salvation.
Yeah. And they've age-appropriate expressions of that faith.
So
just because later they will, you know, in older primary school, maybe in teenage years, they will be able to articulate that choice. That's not a comment on their salvation prior to that point.
Exactly.
They still got a faith. It's probably another thing worth noticing that ultimately what we're trying to describe is faith, which is notoriously difficult because only God can truly see the inner life, the inner spiritual life of the other person. And so what you're trying to paint a picture for us here is to give us an idea of what are the types of fruit perhaps that we might see that would help us to see that faith is present or growing in these children. But of course, we're not actually making decisions. Yeah, only God is the one who can ultimately make those decisions. So that's just kind of worth flagging as well. So we've got those identity markers. They would be referencing God as Father, be referencing their identity as a within the community, referencing Christ as a source of salvation. And we want them. We also want that to grow. We want them to grow in their identity, have a deeper expression, deeper understanding. So flicking to then the nurture graphic, how can I, as a leader or as a parent, how can I be nurturing a child's identity as a disciple of Jesus?
Well, asking questions is always a helpful thing for leaders and parents. So asking a child about their own faith and their faith identity is helpful to get a bit of an idea, particularly if they're old enough to understand and be able to respond. Also scaffolding prayers, if you're talking about referring to God as Father, helping them to understand that that's how you as a Christian refer to God because you're a child of God also.
When you say scaffold, do you want to just unpack that for those who haven't done education?
So scaffolding is like modeling to children what you're hoping for them to learn. So through your modeling, you're showing them a way of relating to God or a way of praying. I think we naturally do this in prayer with kids because prayer is an obvious point where it's a developmental thing where children learn how to pray to God. And over time learn different aspects of praying to God. And so, with scaffolding, I guess you model and then encourage the child to do similar and help them as they go. It's sort of like supporting a child to walk, I guess, if you think about it like that. You might help them, hold them up and get them used to leg strength until they're able to take a few steps, and then you hold their hands while they take a few steps, and then eventually you let go of the hands and let them walk between mum and dad or two people, and they can take a few more steps. So it's that sort of thinking of just slowly building on their understanding and their learning.
Yeah, and that also recognises that there's going to be a point, you know, prayer is a good example, where children, particularly very young children, will just be mirroring prayers that you pray. And again, that is in no way indicative of a lack of actual faith. It's just that's developmentally appropriate where they're at that stage. If we got stuck only ever mirroring prayers, then that would be some sort of immature faith or maybe a signal of lack of faith. But for a child, mirroring prayers, just repeating verbatim what they've learned is completely appropriate. And that's why we're scaffolding increasingly complex prayers as we go on through children's ministry. What else have you got there in terms of how we nurture identity?
I mean, providing space and resources for kids to actually explore their identity as well. Through story and through dramatic play, allowing them that space to explore what that looks like to be a child of God, who they are in the community, and also interacting with Christians of different ages. So being a part of the church service rather than always being in age-segregated programs, or at least having morning tea with the community afterwards, where the many generations interact with each other and they can see that they are part of this wider family of Christ.
So this is the intergenerational piece kind of interplaying with there as well. I know another part that's particularly close to your heart is this mission-mindedness. You've said it, you know, a flourishing disciple is someone who is mission-minded. What would we observe in a child-appropriate way for a child who is starting to think and starting to express a mission-mindedness?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is an easy one to think of when it comes to adults. We like to think about, oh, okay, if someone's mission-minded, they're keen to share their faith with others. And so for kids, it's similar. Being able to invite their friends along to programs, praying for friends who don't know Christ. We have many beautiful kids in our programs that love to pray for their friends regularly, which is awesome. Sharing Jesus with their friends and family as well. Kids often, or parents often, tell me stories of how their children have just come out and told someone the gospel when a parent might shy away from doing it. So there's a certain boldness that comes with kids and unashamedness that comes with children, and that shows you really where their heart is and that that's important to them and they want to share it. Yeah, and so also I guess talking about and praying about global mission too. So I think for kids developmentally, it's much easier for them to think about things that are in front of them and in the here and now. But as children grow older and as we share stories and have link missionaries that can make some of those connections really concrete, kids can start thinking about global mission too. Cool.
Yeah, I think, again, as kids grow up, they get an awareness of other places, countries outside of themselves. And you can link that to things that they're already doing. I mean, we've just recently had the Women's World Cup. And that's a good example of saying, hey, look at all these other countries. And even for young kids, you say, oh, yeah, there's other countries. And you could easily turn those conversations into, you know, Australia played France this week. Hey, do you know there's Christians in France? I wonder if we know any Christians in France. Like, just you could use those natural kind of touch points to continue thinking about mission-mindedness as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's go again to the nurturing then. So I want to nurture mission-mindedness. How do I do that? And again, come back to that scaffolding idea. How do I help prepare kids to be more and more increasingly mission-minded?
Yeah, I mean, you just gave a great example of it. So taking the opportunities that are in front of you to really make them relevant, to connect them to mission with kids. Like I said previously, connecting them to link missionaries, or having, if you do video chats with link missionaries, they often love to chat to the kids, and the kids are really encouraging for them and love to see the missionaries too. Also just explicitly speaking of your conversations with your own friends as a parent or a leader, and praying for your own friends and family who don't know Christ. Yeah, it's really encouraging to the kids as well, because they're seeing that modelled for them as well.
Sort of heading towards wrapping up, but so just to reaffirm those six, we've got the children are trusting God in all things, that they've got an identity as a child of God, that they love God, that they love their local church, they're expressing the fruits of the Spirit, and they are mission-minded. So there's those six, and you can look in the show notes to download those images. But let's think about the practical implementation of this. How did you start to scaffold, again, for your leaders and parents, the actual use of this diagram? What have you done in your church ministry to help people catch this idea and this vision?
Yeah, so I think I initially was a bit naive at thinking how easy this would be. So I shared the graphic itself in the hope that that, just by seeing it, would naturally encourage parents and leaders to refer to it. It's on giant posters in all of our children's ministry spaces for leaders to refer to. But I found more recently in checking in with the leaders, because it's not a part of their formal thinking about ministry, about the program, they're not necessarily referring to it as much as I thought they might be. And so more recently, I've created a template for observations, which again is going back to my early years. It helped to think about my first prac in early years teaching was just purely observation. And so part of it is actually thinking about, okay, how do we see what we need to build on or what we're aiming for? And so by observing first, we're able to do that. And so, yeah, creating a particular template so that leaders can explicitly go, okay, I'm observing this. That could mean that this is where their child's in their faith, and this is where then that they could build on it. So three separate sections. And then that's allowing them to have conversations with parents based on those few things, in the hope that parents will bring parents on board more through the structure that we're talking about it through them. This is what I've observed, and this is what I think it tells me, and this is how we can build on it.
Yeah. That's good. I think that's really, really helpful to notice that you've created the resource, you've displayed the resource, you've given people the graphic, and now you're actually creating more and more ways in which we can, your leaders and your parents can engage with this. Really helpful. Thank you so much, Megan. It's been so good to see you develop this. I really hope that it's a blessing for others as well. They can download it and use it. I think it's got a lot of richness to it to really help us think about how do we actually grow the discipleship, flourishing disciples amongst children. So thank you so much for jumping on with us.
Thanks for having me.
The Effective Ministry Podcast is a production of YouthWorks in Sydney. We want to see effective youth and children's ministry in every church. And one of the ways that you can help us do that is by letting people know about this podcast in all the usual ways, like comment, share, and review on your favorite social media and podcasting platform. If you've got comments, thoughts, or questions for this podcast, you can email us at effectiveministrypodcast@youthworks.net. And also check out youthworks.net for other ways that YouthWorks can help you have an effective youth and children's ministry in your church.